Such an awesome time of the year that we are getting closer to. Believe it or not, as of last night, we are less than a week away from Passover. And so we're coming upon this time. As we get closer, that we kind of get into this state of reflection. You know, we're in reflecting and. We are just kind of going through and trying to draw closer to God. And it's one of those things that as we get closer to those days, my notes are loading right now. As we get closer to those days, we start to count down to the Passover and to the Days of Unleavened Bread. And we start to get in that reflective state. And we talk a lot about that, right? We talk a lot about this reflective state, and we do these countdowns, and I don't know when the countdown started, and in my head, it probably started about a month ago, but we start that countdown, and the tone of our messages kind of change, right? We start to get, change our tone and start to be really focused in kind of a very specific message and specific tone, and we work on this idea of examining ourselves, and we talk about that, and we've been talking about that. I talked about that last week, and I don't plan to go too much into that today a little bit, but when we do this, I started to look into the church's website. I went on ucg.org, and I was looking at we have a long list of sermons on there, and it really struck me how much that tone switches. You know, you go there, and you start scrolling, and the topics are just so much more, I guess I use the word heavy. They feel heavy, you know, it's like these heavy, thoughtful things. And so in thinking of my message today, I had to ask myself, should this be a time when we should be considering all of these heavy topics? Now, of course, I think the answer is absolutely yes, but the question that we have to ask ourselves is why, right? We talk about this a lot, and obviously now we know there's a multitude of reasons that we've been hearing and that we will continue to hear as we go through these today, until the season ends and we move on to the next season. But for today, I'd like to just focus on the straightforward facts of the events we are commemorating in this upcoming week. Because I think, based on the way that the calendar laid out, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, I think we have a special opportunity this year to really, really embrace the significance behind these days. And I really hope that we can take advantage of it. So we'll get back to that. But the straightforward facts that I'd like to talk about today is the fact that the Passover and the night to be much observed correspond with some of the most powerful, consequential, and fundamental stories of the Bible. Right? We see the Passover corresponding with the two main stories of both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, the Passover is the catalyst for the entire story. Think about it. God promises Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he's going to bless their generations, that he's going to bless their seeds. He promises them a land flowing with milk and honey. And yet when we open up to the book of Exodus, those same people that were promised this land of milk and honey are in slavery in Egypt, right? So God, in order to fulfill his plan, fulfill his promises that he made to the patriarchs, he sends Moses to bring his people out. When Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go, God sends 10 plagues, demolishing Egypt. The last one being death to every firstborn. If you like those stories, I don't plan on turning to a ton of scriptures. I just want to do high-level stuff today. But Exodus 7 through 12 is those stories, if you like to look into those and read through them. But as we read this story, it doesn't always jump out to us and come across. But the reality of the situation is the nation that God ultimately demolishes is the most prominent kingdom in the land. Believe it or not, the kingdom of Egypt, based on the research that I did, lasted for 3,000 years. The kingdom of Egypt lasted for 3,000 years. And God just demolished them in these epic scenes and ultimately leading his people into their freedom that he promised. At the same time, you fast forward to the New Testament, and you know the Passover and the beginning of the Days of Unleavened Bread correspond with the biggest story in the New Testament. We read about those in Matthew 21 through 28, Mark 11 through 16, Luke 19 through 24. We went over a bunch of these stories today. And in John 12 through 21, we see these stories of the Passover and some of the night days of unleavened bread in the New Testament. Right? It starts off with, it starts off with Jesus entering into Jerusalem, where people are crying out, "Hosanna in the highest," just a couple of days before Passover. We then have Christ with his disciples instituting the Passover meal and trying to explain to his disciples what is about to happen to them. A day that, as we know, has a tremendous amount of spiritual significance. But the story doesn't end at the Passover meal. We talked about it a lot earlier. After the disciples leave that night, you have some of the most profound stories in the Bible. We have Jesus' prayer in John 17, where he talks about becoming one with the Father. We have one of the most beautiful prayers. I think it's one of the most beautiful. And we have Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane all night, stressed out so much that he literally sweat blood. Literally sweat blood. And we say these things, but we then see the story continue on. He's then taken captive, where his followers, we talked about that earlier, abandon him. Peter denies him three times just to be beaten all night and then into the early morning. Right? I'm just giving a high level of the story. Jesus then carries the cross for about a half a mile, in which he is nailed to it and set there to hang for about 6 hours. During that time, Christ forgives all of the people despite them spitting on him and mocking him. He then shouts at the end, "It is finished," a victory cry that rings throughout eternity. Which leads, as we read earlier, to the temple veil being torn in two. The world turns dark, as we read, and an earthquake happens. It's so funny how these topics seem to blend together. And then Jesus is buried, and the disciples are scattered. All happening during the first couple days of this spring holiday season. So you may be asking, what's the point? Why go through all of these stories so fast? Well, part of the message that I wanted to bring about today is that sometimes we can read these stories so many times that they almost become normalized. Normalized to the point that they lose just how profound they actually are. Right? We heard about that in the Bible study. But the reality is that God literally decimated the strongest country, the strongest empire of the day, just to save his people. And God literally came to the earth as a man and was willing to be beaten and die for our sins. And so part of the reason for going through both of those stories so fast is to make this point. Just because we know the stories and have read through them a million times does not change how phenomenal, tremendous, and profound they truly are. Now, another reason I wanted to go through these stories is that despite the fact that they are thousands of years apart, they all occurred literally at the exact same time of year. And in a lot of cases, the exact same days. And we are celebrating those days this week. If you think about it, if we were in Egypt right now in biblical times, the plagues would be going on all around us. The water would have been turned to blood. We would have experienced the frogs, the pestilence, the gnats. And probably right now, the sun would be darkened for preparing for that last plague. Now, it's not explicitly said in the Bible, but if you move forward, if you believe that Jesus came into town riding on the donkey the same day that God commands the Israelites to bring a lamb into their house for 4 days before he was slain on the Passover. If you believe that Jesus came there on the same day, that would be happening Tuesday. Jesus would be coming into Jerusalem where they're singing Hosanna in the highest. Then Friday, when we're here keeping the Passover, it would be the same night that Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. And it would have been the same night that the Israelites would have been eating the Passover lamb, getting together their stuff for their journey into the wilderness. Later that night, Jesus would be praying all night around the same time that the firstborn would have been dying in Egypt. In the middle of the early morning, people speculate, at around 2 a.m., after praying all night, Jesus would have been taken into captivity. By the next morning, our Sabbath morning this year, Jesus would have been denied by Peter 3 times, spit on, beat, scourged, and whipped until you could barely recognize him, carried to the cross, and then nailed to it all by 9 a.m. All by 9 a.m. Right? So then as we will be getting ready for church at that time, Jesus would be hanging on the cross. Right? At 9 a.m., Jesus would have been hanged on the cross while we will be getting ready for church this Sabbath. Right? Being mocked, suffocating to death. And this experience not only starts as we are getting ready for church, but it continues for Jesus until 3 p.m. So next week on this normal Sabbath day, if you were to compare this to our time, at 9 a.m. when we'd be getting ready for church, he would be crucified. And then by the time Sabbath services end, it's 1:28, he would still be hanging on the cross right now. He would still be hanging on the cross right now. At the same time, the Israelites would be heading out of captivity. So what's the point? Well, the timing of all of these things just coincides so perfectly. Now you could say, duh, of course, that's why we keep these days when we do. That's why they're so important. But although it might seem obvious, I think sometimes as we go through these holy days, these spring holy days, especially because the Passover is at a night and then we have a day in between, sometimes we just lose focus on what's actually going on at the times when the things are going on, right? We don't always take that day off of Passover. We usually don't because it's not considered a high holy day, but we kind of lose track of what's going on, right? We spend the next day going to work and to school, and it helps, it makes it easy to lose focus, right? But all of these tremendous stories are going on around us during those days at the same time, right? And so my point is that as we get closer and closer to these holy days, this year specifically, we have an awesome opportunity. With the Passover being at the beginning of the Sabbath, we don't have to go back to work the next day. We have the Sabbath right afterwards. And to help us to stay in that same headspace, we can leave from the Sabbath and we could still understand and still be in that moment that Jesus left after the meal and prayed all night. Jesus prayed all night, and we leave here and we can be in that headspace still in the same way that Jesus was during that time. If you're up in the middle of the night or really early in the morning, they speculate 2 a.m, you could think Jesus would have just been taken by the priest into captivity. If you wake up before 9 a.m. on the Sabbath this upcoming week, you can meditate on how Jesus would be getting confronted by Pilate, or getting a crown of thorns on his head, or he would be getting scourged right now. You can also consider how it would have been to go through this whole experience without sleeping. And then when 9 a.m. comes, you could ask yourself and acknowledge the fact that this would have been when Christ was crucified on the cross. And so as we sit down on the night to be much observed, we can acknowledge what the Israelites would have gone through. What God our Father, after Jesus Christ is crucified and is in the grave, what God the Father would have been experiencing. What the disciples would have been thinking as they would just watch their Messiah be killed. Right? We have such an awesome opportunity this year with the way that the holy days fall to really sit down and consider what was happening at the time during the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt, and during Jesus Christ's sacrifice and our deliverance from sin. So if you have the time, read the scriptures that correspond with those specific times and try to soak it all in. Try to soak in all the significance of what it would have really been like in reality. Because yes, these stories have a spiritually profound message, but they are also profound in their reality, in the way that they happen. They are filled with more heavy spiritual significance than I think we can ever fathom. And so as we have the opportunity this year to completely focus on these holy days, don't let this opportunity go to waste.